Okay, I guess everybody knows it's a very difficult thing to do tshuva. Tshuva Gemara, certainly. But I think part of the reason why it's difficult to do tshuva is because of a lack of knowledge with regard to tshuva. That certainly is part of the reason. And the more knowledge a person has of tshuva, the more available the process becomes to him, without a doubt, and the easier it is for the person to approach it. That's why the men Reb Chaim must learn one parak in the Hilchos Tshuva every day of Aseres Meshuva. But the Rambam, as we mentioned yesterday, was the first one, perhaps the only one, that really showed or demonstrated that tshuva is not merely introspection. Everybody approached tshuva from the framework of introspection. That's what it is. All right, says all. In other words, everybody when they learn Hilchos Tshuva feels that the appropriate Rambams in Hilchos Tshuva are really to be found in Perek Beis. I mean, those are the Rambams that people feel are really germane to the issue of tshuva. That tshuva gemura, osayishos, makamos, azman, and tshuva sheina gemura, and tshuva when he's young, tshuva when he's old, all these areas everybody feels comfortable with as part of the essence of tshuva. But other areas, like for instance, where the Rambam raises the question of with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yediyah and Bechira Chofshis, I mean, there, people don't really feel that that's really belongs in Hilchos Tshuva. That's a philosophical question. Somehow or other, Rambam put it in there. But the Rambam was, as we said, was the first one to show that Hilchos Tshuva is more than just introspection, but it involves a vast area of knowledge that a person must conquer, must master before he could really involve himself properly in tshuva. And that the Rambam stated in the outset in the Koseres, where he says that a bir mitzvah zu v'ikorim hanigrorim ima biglola b'progamel. So he says, Rambam introduced the idea that you must, in order to be involved in tshuva, in order for a person to be involved in the mitzvah, now see as a mitzvah of tshuva, there are certainly korim that he must master, he must know very well. Okay, that's again why Reb Chaim's minig was to learn every day a perek. Because you can't do tshuva Yom Kippur. It's impossible unless you know all these ideas. Okay, what I'd like to do is to get involved a little more in these ikarim and the precise role that these ikarim play in the process of tshuva. Okay, and to get a better grasp of how these ikarim really are intertwined with tshuva. And they're not just part of tshuva. I mean, you can't separate them out. They're inextricable. You can't separate them out from tshuva. Okay. So there's a couple of questions that I'd like to raise. They're not perhaps new questions, but I think they're significant ones. Let's take, for instance, the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Vav. Alright, Perek Beis Halacha Vav. So Rambam says, Afa pisha tshuva v'atzaka yofa l'olam, v'asara hayomim shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-kippurim hi yofa b'yoser u'miskabelasi miyad shenema dirsha Hashem b'imatzah. Okay, fine. But, I mean, I just like to understand what it means that the tshuva is different. If I do tshuva on the Aseres Yemei tshuva, it's different than if I do tshuva in the middle of the year. I mean, well, why should it be different? Okay? and Miskabela Simiyat. That would seem on the surface really to be pogeya almost. I mean, Chalila and Kavara don't call. I mean, to say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in somehow or other, his mishpat is going to be affected by his man, I mean, is almost, I mean, against the Ikri and Yisari Adas. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is l'mayla min hazman, and it shouldn't. It's almost. I mean, like it's almost shocking that the Rambam would write such thing. When Rambam himself says that anyone that thinks that he affects God in any way, or that time is an element in terms of God, time is a creation, and God is outside of time, above time, and here. The Rambam says that the somehow or other that a tshuva b'asara yom ma'elu is different. Miskabelus imiyah, dir shoshem b'matzo. Even dir shoshem b'matzo. He's always in matzo. What's the difference now? Now he's more in matzo than other times. I mean, that's almost chalila. I mean, akshama sabare. It's a strange kind of a halacha around tells us. It's a strange kind of phenomenon. I mean, how do you understand such thing? How do we place such a thing in the framework of the Yisori Adas? Now, of course, nobody knew Yisori Adas better than the Rambam, and the Rambam himself quotes this halacha, Maimar Chazal, and he doesn't have any problem with it. There's no problem apparently with the Rambam. Okay, that's something I think is an important question. Yeah. He's the Ashgacha because it says that the Tzibor is always. The Tzibor is Miskabals Miyad. Miskabals Miyad. Yeah. Ashgacha. Ashgacha. What difference does it make to the Bari Olam if a person did chew in the Sashi Meichu or a person did chew in the middle of the wintertime? What's the difference? Yeah, he says, Yeah. 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 Yafi Yafala Olam. It's Yafi Biyoser. I don't see why. A person does tshuva gemura. Tshuva gemura, belev sholem, and the das shlema, and like the Rambam says, the yod alav bore olam, she la yoshev, la chedover zeod, what could be more than that? He didn't do it in the right time? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Okay. And without the Rambam, you say, posh it. Let's say, for instance, see, the Rambam says that, in Perek Gimel, he says, "Halacha Gimel, Kishem Sheshoklin Zechuyos Odom Vavonosov B'Shas Misaso, Kach B'Chol Shana V'Shana Shoklin Avonos Kol Echod V'Echod Miboi Olam Im Zechuyosov." So Echod Kol Echod V'Echod Miboi Olam means even Gaim. Im Zechuyosov B'Yomtiv Shor Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Ram Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel Avos Shiva. Okay, Mishin Nimtza Tzadik Nechtam L'Chayim, Mishin Nimtza Rosh Nechtam L'Misa. So that's all you need, really. You didn't need the other Rambam. All you need is that Rambam. That the Rambam says that there's a shas mishpat for a person at the conclusion of his life. That's one time that there's shoklin of onosov and mitzvosov is chuyosov shalom. And then there's another thing that life is broken up into certain units. Certain units of existence. What are the units of existence? Every year, annual unit. One every year is a unit, and at the end of each unit, the person's situation is judged, and the judgment takes place based upon his status, the status of the soul. I mean, is at that time, okay? What it is, only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could know. V'shikol zeinu l'fi minyan haschuyas, but he says the only one that ain't shokin alo b'daito shel kel deos v'ua yadeya heyach orchin haschuyas k'neged avonos. Okay, so the kel deos Kadosh Baruch Hu is done. Every person in a units, intermittently units of his existence, which the unit is a year. Okay, that's what the. That's a, that. That's a, no. That see that. That's not a question. That's just the so fact. That's time insofar as you're concerned. Your time. Yeah. Kadosh Baruch Hu's mind is mine, but insofar as your time is concerned, we exist in a time space existence, and so it means to say, that was the Ashgacha works according to a certain unit of existence. That was when are you going to judge? You have to judge a person. You judge him every second. I mean, judge him when? So you have to give him ample time of function, and you judge. He's judged after a certain amount. He needs a certain amount of experience. I mean, in order to judge him, okay? You can't judge him in a second. Split the second in half. When is he judged? So he has a unit of performance, and the year is a unit of performance. So that I understand. The judgment has to take place based upon a certain unit of performance. You can't have a judgment if there's no unit of performance. You follow what I mean? So that's why the Rambam says that the unit of human performance is a year. That's a unit. That's a unit. Okay?
You judge for that year or you judge at that point for a human?
But you must have a unit of function in order to judge a human being. Okay, so that's not a problem. I mean, that makes sense. Well, what is the unit? Is the unit a day? Is it a month? And there has to be a judgment based upon a certain existence, experiential and personal existence, where he exercises bechira. And what is the unit? So one unit is his life. That's for sure a unit. But the Rambam says just like a person's life is a unit, a year's time is considered a unit. Okay. Insofar as judgment is concerned. So a person did Averis on Monday, and so God doesn't judge him so quickly. Tuesday, he still doesn't judge. He has a year's time in which, in the end of the year, that's when he's judged. It's Machlokes Tanaim, basically. We went through this one before. Some say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges b'chol yom. Every day is a unit. Yeah, but see, the Rambam maintains that's not so. Rambam maintains that the unit of existence in which you judge, the realm, the sphere, the field of activity, is 1 year. 1 year's time. Okay. Yeah. Your question is, why should the year be from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah? Okay. Fine, but whatever it is. But that's a minor point. Okay, but the idea of a year is not really a problem, but it makes sense. A person lived one way in Chodesh Cheshvan, and by the time Chodesh Nisan rolled around, he changed. So you see, so you don't judge him by Chodesh Cheshvan. He needs a year's time of function. You need a certain amount of time to be able to function in order to. It's not simply that's why he says that the only one that can be done is Kael Deos, because a person see, yeah, he did something bad at this point. So you judge him at this point. You'd say he's a Russia. You need a certain sphere of operation. The sphere is a year's time. That's what the Rambam said. But that's all you need, really. But that has nothing to do with what the Rambam said before in Perek Beis, that the tshuva is a superior tshuva, miskabelas biyosa. That's something else. That's just a plain phenomenon. That's what most people understand. The idea is that what? That a Saracen made tshuva is why? Because you try to do something before the end of the Gzar Din. I mean, that's all you need, really, right? So the Gezar Din, so Rosh Hashanah is the first Gezar Din, and then you assume you're Beinoni, so it's Tolan, so you have time to do tshuva till Yom Kippur. That's it. Not because the tshuva is any better, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more korov biyosa. That's a different idea. What kind of idea is? You don't need that idea in order to get a person to do tshuva, to realize the importance of tshuva, of Aseres Mei Tshuva. It's the practical thing. I mean, the din is coming. You have a year's time. Now it's the end of the year. You have to make a cheshbon nefesh. First, let's make a cheshbon nefesh. It's the end of the unit. The end of the year is approaching. But what does it do? Yofa. It's not yofa biyosem. It's kabbalah. What's got to do with that? Okay. Two different halachas. The Rambam is not. It's not a repetition here of the Rambam in the Perek Gimel Halacha Beis. It's not a repetition of the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Vav. It's a different thing altogether. Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, just while we're on this, in Halacha Dalad, Paragim Halacha Dalad, it's a funny thing where the Rambam says, why do you get up early in the morning to say Slichas? So everybody learns this simply, you got to say Slichas because you want to do Tshuva. And again, it has to do with the fact that the Gzar Din, you have an impending Gzar Din. Okay? It's like it's an eighth, sorry, you have to... So you try to do your best to do tshuva. But the Rambam is a funny thing. Rambam says, "Nalach ava pishet chias shofar barashan exeres akasev." Okay, so remez yeshbo klomo uri yeshena mishinaschem v'nedom hikitzu mitadamaschem the chifsu maasechem, the chizru b'tshuva, the zichru barachem, elo shechem esemes bahavle asman, v'shogim kol shenosam, v'hevo v'rika shalo yov v'lo yatzil, habitul nafshesechem, v'itivu darkechem u'ma'alalechem, v'yazov kolechem mikem darko horo machshav tova shalo tova. Okay, so that's the call, the shofar really is a call for tshuva. Okay, now the Ram goes lefichach tzarach kol adam shira atzma kol hashana kilu chetz zakev vechetz chayev. Right, what's this lefichach? What was it going to do? I don't understand. So since the shofar Russian is telling a person to do tshuva, chifzub maseichem and do tshuva, so lefichach therefore what? So therefore I say lefichach. Yase kolodim tshuva b'Rosh Hashanah. Kishashamei, as a shofar. No, the Ram says, Lefichoch tzorach kolodim shiira atzmo kol hashanah, kulo, kilu chetzi zakai v'chetzi chayev. That's why a person all year round has to look at himself as if he's 50-50, he's a benini. V'chein kol ha'olam chetzi zakai v'chetzi chayev. And the whole world also, he must look at as being chetzi chayev, benini. Okay. Chot achet echad, if he does one avera, hare achriyas atzmo, it's called olam kulo lekaf chov v'gom lashchasa. If a person does one avera, so what happens? So it means that the entire himself and the entire world, he converted the whole situation l'ra lashchasa, and everybody's going to be destroyed. Also mitzvah achas, he did one mitzvah, hare achriyas atzmo, it's called olam kulo lekaf schos v'gom lo v'lohem tshuva v'atzola shenema, and he saved everybody in the world. Okay. Shenema v'tzadik yisod olam. What does it mean tzadik yisod olam? Why is the tzadik the foundation of the world? Ze she tzadak hichrias kol olam l'schus v'itzilo. This person through doing one mitzvah saved the entire world. That sounds on the surface like a little bit of an egocentric kind of a system, but at any rate, fine. But the problem is, what is the continuity in the Rambam? What's the lefichach? Lefichach, so therefore, since the shofar in Rosh Hashanah says chizmasechem, so therefore a person all year round must look chetzo chayev v'chetzo zakai, and therefore, if he does one avera, the whole world is destroyed. If he does one mitzvah, he saves the entire world. Okay, then first of all, what does it got to do with Rosh Hashanah? He says kol Hashanah. Kol Hashanah. What's it? It doesn't follow through. All right? And then he says, now he comes back, because of this, Nogu kol Beis Yisrael, so all Klal Yisrael and Noeg, laharbos bitzdoko b'masim tovim, all right, to do a lot of tzdoko and a lot of maisim tovim, v'lasog b'mitzvos, and to be osek in mitzvos, me Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom HaKippurim, yes, I'm Mikol Hashanah. So let me say this, it's not just to avoid pasakum, but it means to do more. I mean, to be involved more and live differently in these aseres yemei tshuva, to involve yourself more in ma'asim tovim and in tzedakah and in mitzvahs in general, more than you do all year round. V'nagu kulam lakum balayla baseres yomim elu ulespalel b'botei knesios b'divrei tachnunim l'kivushin at sheyor hayom. So Ram holds, and that's why the minhag was to get up in the night, in the nighttime. That's the idea of slichas. It means to get up at night, okay, before kodem shiyor yom, to start off with divrei tachnunim of kivushim. So what comes according to Ram? What's the reason for slichas? What's the reason for slichas? Why do you say slichas? To be mate kol olam kulo lekaf schus. That's what he says, right? I mean, basically, that's what he says. To be mate kol olam kulo lekaf schus. So that's really the reason for getting up slichas. Ask a person, why are you getting up early in the morning slichas? Because I have to save the world. This Rambam is very disconnected. He's very disconnected, the Rambam. He starts off with remez of Rosh Hashanah, then he goes back to the regular every day all year round, and then somehow or other he travels back to Aseres Yemei Tshuva. I mean, it's a funny kind of a thing. It's disjointed, the Rambam. You understand what I mean? Hey, the Rambam of the Kol Shofar doesn't seem to have anything to do with the fact of With the fact of Kalashana, I mean, it's disjointed. Or I don't see there's no continuity in this realm. There's three separate topics here. One is what the remnants of the Kol Shofar is, one. Two is how a person should look at himself all year round on a constant basis. Okay, and three is slichas on between sesame and shuvah. Okay, now well, let's go back to the original thought, namely the original theme, which is that the Rambam held that there are ikorim and the grorim ima v'glola that are vital and essential component to shuvah. All right, and it's an interesting thing. But the Rambam, what are those ikarim? What are those ikarim? So if you take a look, it's pretty easy to discern them. If you take a look, for instance, Perek Hamishi, Rishus L'chol Adam Nesuno, Imratza L'hatos Atzma L'derech Tova, V'liyos Tzadik Rishus B'yadom, okay, V'imratza L'hatos Atzma L'derech Ra, V'liyos Rosh Rishus B'yadom. So that's basically Bechira Chavshis, free will, okay. Now, Perek Shishi is where the Rambam really continues on free will, but not philosophically, but he deals with certain problems that people think are presented in the Torah. And he shows what are not problems. So that's basic continuation. Okay. Then you have like this. Then in Perek Shvi, so he tells you why, that's why a person should do tshuva. It's continuation. Oh, it's just kolam nesun. It's a continuation of Bechira Chavshis. That's basically Bechira Chavshis. Okay. Perek Shmini is another yisod. Atova tzfunu letzadikim michayi olam abba. Okay? So that's another yisod, obviously. That another ikr. Chayi olam abba. And then he elaborates on what chayi olam abba is in Perek Ches. Okay, he says important things. He says he explains that Shema Teikal Beinecha Tovazu and Olachavav the Tidna Shein Schar Mitzvus the Yosadam Shalim Medaka Emes Eloliyos Olachavashosa Machavas Tovos Bolzers Noros Lovish Big Deshesh all the physical pleasures. He says Kemoshe Medamin Elohar Voyim Atipshina Vilim Ashtufim Bezima Avala Chachomim. Ram explains that basically what the world's philosophy, the world, what does Ram say? What does Ram call them names? Because the Rambam is telling you that simply the philosophy of the world, the world's philosophy, could all be boiled down to one thing. Ignorance. That's it. They just don't know. They don't have any knowledge. That's why it says Aval Hachachomim Ubali Deo Yedu Shekolas Varmil De Revoy. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of they just don't know the Tipshim. They just they have no knowledge at all in this area. It's simply a mistaken knowledge, just like you have a mistake in any area, in any area where a person doesn't know what he's doing, he's obviously going to be lost and he's going to draw the wrong conclusions. So the philosophy of the world is based on a lack of knowledge, and the Chachamim know that they have the knowledge, so they know this is all wrong. Okay, good. Now, so that's the next. That's another yisod. Okay, that's another yisod is Olam Abba, and then basically he continues with that theme with Olam Abba, and in Perek Tishi he does the similar as he did before. He says there's certain problems that might arise. Iftar explains to you what it is philosophically, so he deals with the certain problems that may arise from a cursory reading of the Torah, and you're going to make a mistake, and you're going to think there's certain problems, but he removes the problems. Okay. Okay. Then, of course, in Perek Asiri, he goes into the highest level of existence, which is Oved Me'ava. Okay, another yisod. But it's interesting. What would you think would be the biggest yisod? Of course, is found in Perek Gimel in Perek Gimel Halacha Zion. That's what I would say is the biggest yisod, though. Ha'omer Hamisha Hein Anikroyim Minim. Ha'omer She'ein Shom Alaka. The Ein La'olam Manik. All right? Elsin is big yisod. As a matter of fact, I'm not the one that says big yisod. The Ram says big yisod. Because Ram starts off his sefer with a statement, yisod ha-yisodos, yisod ha-yisodos, the omor ha-chachmos, leida sheyeshom eloka motzi. Is that what it was? Sheyeshom motzi rishon. Motzi rishon. That's yisod ha-yisodos. And I'm on a chachmas. Leida sheyeshom motzi rishon. Okay. Now what does Ram say over here? Homa sheyeshom alaka. That's basically, I mean, vein lolomonic. All right. So you would think if the Rambam is organizing tshuva, he says tshuva is based on ikarim. So I would think that he would introduce this ikar, certainly like he introduces the other ikarim. Rishus l'chavodim nesuno, hatova tzvon l'tzadikim. He would have a perek, I mean, of where he says, you saw Iker or Ikrim is this. Okay? All right? But the Rambam doesn't introduce that way. How does the Rambam bring this in? It's a funny thing. What is this doing here, basically? According to the Rambam, as an Iker per se, it wouldn't even be here. Because the Rambam introduces it parenthetically. In Perek Gimel Mehilchus Tshuva. And what does Perek Gimel Mehilchus Tshuva deal with? Perek Gimel Mehilchus Tshuva deals with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done the world. Okay? So that's what he says. Kol lecha v'echad in beginning paragim. Kol lecha v'echad in b'nei odom yesh lo zechuyis v'avonos. Mish yesh chuyis v'seres al v'avonos tzadik. Avonos yesh lo zechuyis. Russia. Machza beinani. And then he goes through that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done. So the paragimu really is designated to Mishpat Hashem. Right? Hashem's Mishpat. And in the Mishpat he says, He brings down in halacha hey, he says v'chein kol rishonim shavonoseim merubim donenosan kefi chet on chetayim v'yeshlam chelak l'olam haba shekol yisrael yeshlam chelak l'olam haba af pishachatu shenem v'amcha kol tzadikim. Okay, v'chein chasid yomos olam yeshlam chelak l'olam haba. Fine, halacha vav ve'elu she'ein lohem chelak l'olam haba ela nechrasim v'ovdim. Okay? So Ram says that these are the ones, there are certain people that are nidun v'nichras v'nevodim because of their averis, they're nidun l'olam l'olam e'olamim. And who are these people? These are the minim, the apikursim, and the kofrim b'torah, and kofrim t'chis ha-mesim, b'yas ha-goel, more than machtir, rabbin, the whole list. Okay, so that's where those. That's what. Now he starts off. Chamisha heim anekroim minim. There are five people that are called minim. Haomer she'ein shom elakai ve'en lalaman. And he goes on. Okay, but what I want to show you is that how does he introduce this yisod? Is not being introduced as a yisod per se, as a nikar per se. Right. I mean, he doesn't introduce it like he does rishus l'chol olam nesana. He says like this, Lorenz says, there is such a thing as mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was done each individual at the end of his life and after certain units of his life. Okay? That's fact. Now, he says, and certain people are, God is done for good, and others he's done for bad. Okay, fine. But then he says, now there's another group there that God has done in a way that they are nechrasim and have totally annihilated. Okay? And that group consists of the minim, let's just take the first three, the minim, the apikursim, and the kofrim batara. And now he says, I want to tell you what these people are. Okay? What is a min? A min is a person that denies that the olam has a money, that there's a God. Okay? All right. So basically, he denies the first yisod. Right? So what I'm trying to show you is like this: that the Rambam is very funny because the Rambam is telling you these yisodos, not because he seems to hold it's an ikar in tshuva, but because he holds for some reason I must know how and why these people that God judges are going to be totally annihilated. I mean, it's a funny kind of a thing. Let's say I didn't know. And there's good reason. It's a good reason for the Rambam to introduce that way, for a simple reason, because if he's just telling you the yisodos, it would be repetitious. He would say, the yisodos that you have to know for Hilchos Tshuva is the first thing I wrote, and obviously yisodos, one more chachmas, leideh, sheishim, or ka, motzi, rishon. Okay? So that's all the Rambam has to do, be repetitious. And the Rambam seems to be repeating, because he goes through the same things that he mentions in the first paragraph. But over here, it's in a different framework. Over there, it's a Yisod per se, because you must know this Yisod. And that's the mitzvah of Anocha Hashem Elokecha. But over here, he's saying, you have to know it. Why do you have to know it? Why do you have to know it? It's an interesting thing. You have to know it because since God judges, and in judging, God does this and that. Okay, and then also, that's when he judges the Rishayim and the Tzadikim. That's one kind of judgment. Then there's certain people that forget it. Then the Chosim and Evadim, they're not even that kind of Mishpah. It's a different kind of Mishpah. They're totally destroyed and totally annihilated. Okay? And those are this group, and now you should know what this group is. Why do I have to know so much about this? I mean, what is the... I have to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpah. But apparently, he's not introducing it as a Yesod per se, because then this isn't the proper framework. He should reduce it like... Rishus L'Chalot Nesuna, like in Parakeh. So he's not saying that's what he's doing. Basically, he's reducing the stature of the Iker, in a sense. He's not saying it's an Iker per se. He's saying it's an Iker which you must know, Agav Orcha. You see, Agav Orcha, because you must know God judges. This is the way he judges. So he's really reducing the importance of the Iker by placing it in a secondary manner. It's like a funny kind of a thing. I mean, I would say that it's a clear reference to how he started out, because he said, Ikorim Hanigrorim Ima Biglola. Okay? So, Ima would seem to be like Rishus L'Chalot Nezur. This is Biglola. This is Biglola. Somehow, parenthetically, you must know how God judges, and you should know that there are certain people who judge this way, and these are the people. You must have this knowledge in order to do tshuva. What if there's knowledge in order to do tshuva? What if I didn't know exactly? I know Yisoda's Va'omer HaChachmas Leida Shigesham Matzirishan. I know that. Okay? That's not how Lachan Nechus Tshuva, it's called Tarakula. Right? But that's not enough. I must know that the way God judges a person that doesn't have that Yisod, he's called a Min, and he's Nechras La'olam, and this is exactly, I'll give you categories of these people. Okay? Difficult thing, it's accidental, parenthetical, and what do I have to know it for? I mean, you understand? If you're going to tell me I have to know because it's a Nicker, so first of all, I said it already. And then in the opening statement of the Sefer, right? How am I going to say that? What? That it's not because I... That's, of course, you have to know. But it's part of Mishpah, so what do I have to know? The details of how God judges the people and how he categorizes them. And of course, Baruch Yosh Mishma says, this guy, he's a min because of this and that. This guy, he's not Bikaris. This one is a Kaf Batara. And God categorizes them and based upon all these categories. What's my business? What do I have to know about that for? Funny kind of a thing. The way he introduces these Ikarim over here is very funny. Okay? What the Rambam should do is introduce these Yisod, may Yisod HaTshuva is may Yisod HaDos, but then now it's also Tshuva, because Tshuva is Losh of Hashem, so obviously you must know what I wrote in the first parak, Yisod, otherwise who are you being a shov to? So you understand? It'll be self-explanatory, basically. I don't even know if you'd have to mention it. But if he would, he'd say, that's the Yisod, Kasher Bi'ano B'tchilas HaSefer. Okay. It's a funny kind of a, the way he introduces is very funny. Introducing, you have to know parenthetically because God judges, and certain individuals are judged for certain reasons, and these are them, and now this is what they are, and you have to know this. Tell this true. Why? Chamisha hein hanekroim minim. All right. So let's take a look. The best thing is to analyze what he, from the area itself. Okay. Chamisha hein hanekroim minim. There are five people that we can classify as minim. Ha'omer she'ein shom eloka. Okay. Ve'ein la'olam manhig. Okay. All right. I don't want to get too much into the semantics of the what he's saying. Basically, in other words, he says there's no borei olam. Okay. All right. Va'omer she'yesham manhig. Okay, manig doesn't necessarily mean in terms of mishpat. Manig means a source of all existence, and it is because of him that everything in the order that we see prevails. That's what he means, manig. Okay, his existence is a source of the prevailing order. Okay. Yeah, left hand. That's fair. Aval hand, and he says yes. Okay, so that's one. So one is he simply denies the existence of a God, basically like in the beginning. Yisodi Yisodas Leda Shiyashim Lakam Matsurishin. Okay. Now, so Va'omer. Now, next, I guess Va'omer Shiyashim Manig Avalein Shnayim O Yeser. He says that it's more than one. Okay, so the Rambam explains, and I tell you, take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Yisodei Torah, right? Where the Rambam explains that the idea that God is one is in Halacha Zayin, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. He says Elokka Ze Echad, Ve'Einu Shnayim V'Lo Yesar Shnayim. That's the same thing he's saying here, right? Ela Echad She'Ein Ki Yichudo Echad Min Achadim HaNimtzom Ba'Olam. Okay, elaborates. Lo echad kminchu kol elachadim harbe, velo echad kuguf shu nechlok umachlok v'sovas. Ela yichud she'ein yichud acher kamoso ba'olam. Why? So like he explains, ilu haya elohos harbe hayu gufin ugvios. Okay, if there were many, so they'd have to be physical. M'nei she'ein ha'nimnin ha'shovim b'mtzi'usan nefrodin zemize ela b'ma'oroin she'yiru b'gufos v'gvios. Because how do you separate two things that are identical, in essence? Because they're physically, and they're physical things, so you can separate them. There's one over here, one over there. He says, V'ilu haya yotzer gufu gviyo haya lokes v'tachlis she'yiru gufan. Okay, so he shows that, and then that's impossible. V'chol she'yesh l'gufu kezalas of God, if one were to think that God were physical, he would have to, at the same time, say that he's not infinite. Okay. All right. So therefore, lefichach, efshir, he concludes, efshir sheyia elechad. Right, so achdus Hashem is based, according to the Rambam, on the fact that what? That God is not physical. Okay, good. So here he says like this, v'omer sheyesham manig, so what is he saying? He's saying, I agree, there is a God. But the one problem, heim shnayim ayoser, he has a problem and he thinks of what? That they're more than one. Okay. Okay, fine. Now, take a look next. Va'omer sheyesham ribon echad aval shehu bal gufa bal tmona. Okay. Now the Rambam says a what? That he's one, but he's physical. Right? So basically, right, yeah. But that would seem to be, so what's the problem? It's the same thing, basically. I mean, the one that says, the one Ha'omer Sheyesha Manhig Avalin Shnayim Oyaser is basically, according to the Rambam, saying that God is physical. Because the Rambam explains before that in order to maintain that there are two, you must maintain the physical. Correct? So it's a repetition, basically. Because Ha'omer all he had to say to Rambam, all the Rambam had to say was, Ha'omer sheyesh shom ribon avolhu bal gufa bal tmura. That would take care of both of them. Alright? Because if he's saying shnayim, or yeser, he's saying that he's a gufa bal tmura, because that's what the Rambam says, that's the only way to say that he's physical is ipso facto saying that he's not echor anymore. I mean, that's correct. Right? So, it seemed to be repetition. Same thing. All he had to say was Omer Sheyesha Mani Gavalupa Gufutmuni. He could have left out the second one. Okay, because Shnayim or Yeser is the exact same thing. That's one question. Yeah. Well, if you want me to know the Iker, all you have to say is that I must know the Iker that God is not physical. That's all I have to say. And these two guys are going to be lost. Of course, either way, that's the Iker. By the way, the Rama, he's not the philosopher, is right, but that's a tragedy. That's it. Look what the Rama says. The Rama says, Ve'elu hein she'ein lohem chelek lolam abo, right before, ela nechrosin v'ovdin v'nidunin al godel risham v'chatasam. Sounds like the Rama is describing a horrible individual, right? Godel risham v'chatasam, that's not enough. Lo'olam u'lo'olme olamet. Okay? Can't say anything worse about a human being, right? Who is that person? Ha'omer sheyesh ribon echad aval hu bal gufa tmura. That's basically what I'm saying. That is the height of rishis. And chait is this mistake. This little mistake. Okay? This little mistake, according to the Rambam, is the height of rishis and chait. Amazing thing. He's needed lo'olam. What are you doing? This terrible thing. I mean, it doesn't sound like this terrible thing. You made a mistake. Okay. But apparently in the system of Yahadus, a lack of yediyah is the height of rishis. It's an amazing thing. See what Ram says? It's an unbelievable thing. A lack, an innocent, what people today, in today's society, we call it an innocent lack of knowledge. Didn't know? No, he's a Rasha Marusha, he's Nidu La'olam al-Ole al-Lamim al-Godul Chatas of Risha. Okay? That's what Ram says. That's a good point. Saying the order should be reversed at least. At least he should say, he should have first that he says about Gufat Mun, and then he should have after that he say, Heim Shnayim Yesar Shnayim. That's right, because you're right, that's a good point. That the order should be reversed at least. Okay. Alright, next one is, Shehomer She'eno Levado Rishon V'tzul HaKol. Okay, so there already maybe he could work, I mean, I don't know, whatever. He's not alone. He's not alone at Tzul HaKol, but there's something else that exists eternally besides. Okay, we're familiar with certain philosophers. Okay, that's the minute. But then V'chein Ha'oved Kochav O'mazel V'zuloso K'delios Melitz Beino Uvein Ribon Ha'olamim. This one seems to be completely out. What does this got to do with the first ones? The first one seemed to be a chasaran in yediyah of an ikar. Let's forget about our questions. But the first ones seem to be chesaron and ikar yediyah, which is what she'ein shom eloka, they know a manig, or he says yesham yesal shnayim, or he says that it's yeshi b'necha bal gufa tzmon. This is yediyah sabore per se, okay? Or the fourth one, ain't a levado rishon. There's something else that exists eternally. There's a matter perhaps that exists eternally. Whatever it might be, fine. But this at least you can relate a little bit. But this last one, this fifth one, doesn't sound like it has to do with the other thing. He says he agrees with everything above, namely that he denies all those premises. He's in full agreement with the denial of the four previous premises, and he agrees with the Yahadis. But he has one thing. He serves a Melitz. He goes to a Melitz. I don't know. What is that Melitz? Whatever it might be. Whether it's a person, or whether it's a Malach, or whatever it might be. So first of all, I mean, again, you see, according to Ram, that's like Godel, Rishav, Achatasov, Nidl, Olam. Why? Because he decided to go to a Melitz and ask him to please do me a favor and be a Melitz Yosher before God. Just saying. He's Oved. I understand. He's Oved. He's Oved, but the nature of his Oved is in the framework. That's the framework of course, he has to do avoda. It's correct, but what's the nature of his error? He simply is looking for somebody to speak on his behalf. That's his objective. This person is the worst Russia in the world, and he's needing all the money. That's what the Ram says, basically. Okay, but besides that, I mean, the point is, what does it have to do with the previous ones? Over here, it would seem, if you're going to tell me Ikarim, so the Iker, he has the Iker. Yes, Dick. Yesham Watsirish. He's not Shnayim. Yes, or Shnayim. He's Ein Abal Gufa Tmuna, and there's nothing else besides him. Okay, fine. But he makes it. What does that have to do? It seems that doesn't do it. Okay. Well, so now let's take a look. If you were to break this up, you'd say the first area has to do this Shem. Then Avoda. Who do you do Avoda? It's a separate thing. Okay. It seems to be the larger separate thing. Okay. Now take a look at the next one is Shloshahin Hanikroim Apikursim. Okay? Ha'omer She'ein Shem Nevoa Klal, that's one. Person denies the institution of Nevoa. Ve'ein Shem Mador Shemagia Me'abore L'Lev B'nei Adam. There's no knowledge transmitted from God to man. Okay? Va'makhish, that's part of two. Correct? Part of one, yes, the first one's the one, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, well, that's doing in there, Stam, I don't know, but okay. It seems either it's the same thing, it should have been under the first one, but apparently it's a separate one. Excuse me? One second. V'omer, just a second. V'omer she'ein ha-bore yodea ma'aseh b'nei adam kol echad n'shlosh she'elu hena p'kosim. So how are you breaking up the three? Two is makfus mazmazman. And three is ha'omer she'ein ha-bore yodea ma'aseh b'nei ha-adam. Okay? Now over here again, if I were categorizing, I would have put that with the one, with the mina. Because that's something that has to do with the essence of God. He's saying that God is not omniscient. God doesn't know everything. He's not all-knowing. That's what he's saying, basically, right? So that would seem to me would belong in one, certainly more than someone who is Doresh Beilitz. I mean, right? You understand? Okay. It's interesting. I wouldn't give him the honor of calling him an Apikaris. I'd call him a Min. It's much worse. And so we say they're all matzdik as a din. So that means he stands before God, and God explains to him what he is, and he comes to the realization of what his status is. Okay? So it doesn't matter across an oven, he's defined under certain categories. And min, and apikaris, and kaf b'Torah. Okay. Kaf b'Torah, fortunately, doesn't present too many problems. It seems to be pretty uniform. Okay, Shein HaTorah Meim Hashem, Afilu Pasuk Echad. Okay, Chenekov BePirusho. That's good. And then what's the last one? Is okay, Bar Hichlof Mitzvazu. Fine, but basically, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's very hard to unify those. Kaf Batar is good, but the first one's the Minim, and then the Apikorsim, you have a problem with. And it would seem, according to the Ram, the Apikoros has all the first things down pat. I mean, all those five things. He's completely in agreement with those five. I mean, he has no problem with those. Where is he? Where is his problem? A separate problem. He's not so sure about Nevoah, okay? Or Nevoah Sishmosh Rabbeinu, all right? Or Einakar's brother that was problem. But anyways, that's, you understand what I'm saying? The worst category is the category of men. So I understand why that he put in a separate halacha. Okay. All right, let's go backtrack now. Let's go back to the Hilchus Yisrael Torah. Let's start from there, I think. The reason why the Rambam says, Ein Shom Nevua Klal, the Ein Shom Mada HaMagia Me'aborei Al B'nei Adam, because, you see, that could be two different things. In other words, as the Rambam says already in Hilchus Yisrael Torah, there's two types of Nevua. One type of Nevua is Nevua that a person has a certain mission. Person sent by God on a certain mission. But there's another kind of nevuah that has to do with the personal increase in knowledge. So that's around Perek Zion Alach Zion. Hanavi Efshe Shatir Nevuasa La'atzmo Bilvad La'achiv Libo La'osif Daito Atche Yeda Mashalo Hoy Yodea Me'os Nadvar Magdol. So that's already Ein Sham Mada Shemagia Me'abaral B'nei Adam. And my Ram's referring to this. Okay, if he denies this. But then he says, the Efshisha Yeshulach La'am Me'am Me'ha'orat Zalan She'ir Mamlocha L'chonos and La'diyah Mashiyasa. So that would seem to be Nevuah. Nevuah Klal means two things. Two different types of Nevuah. Okay? Sometimes Nevuah involves a Shlichas, sometimes Nevuah involves Yediyah. That's what the Rambam says. Two types of Nevuah. And the two types of Nevuah, that point comes up in Navi Sheker. It's an interesting thing. By a Navi Sheker, Navi Sheker is not one that maintains that he received knowledge from God when he didn't. Okay? Navi Sheker is only in the second category of Nevoah, where he maintains Shlichus. Interesting thing. Because the Pasuk says, really. Because the Pasuk says that, Yeshe Daber Dava B'Shmi Esa Shelo Tzivisiv. So it's always a Tzivoy. He must, the Navi Sheker is one who presents himself fraudulently as a Navi. If he's a fraud at being a Navi, that's not Chayav Misa. He says, look, I received this tremendous knowledge and this Ayidei Nevuah, and he's an absolute liar. We could prove he's a liar. He's still not a Navi Sheker. Okay? Navi Sheker is that I received the Shlichus Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then if it's Sheker, then it's Chayav Misa. It's an interesting thing. It always has to involve Shlichus. Okay, that's it. And you'll see that all it happens to be true psychologically. Because every time you have historically a Navi Sheker, it's never an intellectual fraud. There is never a person that says that I received a certain Nevuah B'chalom HaLaila, that this and such is true. They never say that. It's always a shlichus. Always. The emotion, the Navi Sheker is a certain kind of an emotion. And the emotion is always involved shlichus. Because that's what the emotion is. The nature of the emotion is that he is a shlich Hashem. That's the thing. Not that he misrepresents himself as a Navi when he's not. Okay, that's not the emotion. That's a separate thing. That's an intellectual, arrogant egomaniac. But that's not a Navi Sheker. Okay. It's an amazing thing how carefully those mitzvahs are classified. Because each one is classified according to a certain nature of man. Interestingly. Okay. Yesoda Yesodos Va'omer HaChachmos Leda Sheyesham Motzi Rishon. Okay, it's an amazing thing, but as soon as the Rambam said that this is Yesoda Yesodos and Omer HaChachmos, everybody closed the Sefer. It's an amazing thing. He says this is the Yesoda Yesodos, and not only that, but it's the Omer HaChachmos. That means if you don't have this clear, so then there's no Chachma or anything, basically. Because you don't have the foundation, means if you pull down the foundation, the whole structure collapses. So it means a person that doesn't have this idea clear, basically, has no Sheikhus to Chachma. Alright? But no one on the whole, people wouldn't seem to be interested in investigating any further. What exactly, that was it. They didn't go any further. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza. Okay, so what is Rambam saying basically? Okay, in the first halacha. So what is he saying? Okay. So, and why is it really? Why is it the Yisrael Yisrael Shalom Nachachas? Why is that so? Because it means that a person must say, when he sees the order in the universe, that this order that he sees is not just haphazard, but it's the source of an existence which designed the order. And it means that, excuse me? God is the source. This is the source. So, in other words, that he must recognize that this existence is the source of the order that he sees, and this existence is the designer of the order. Correct? Okay. So that means that anything that you see is a result of the chachma of the designer. So then you're committed with that concept, the person's committed to chachma. Otherwise, if a person just looks at the universe and just basically what he sees, so he has an option. He could say, look, I see an order, the order's there. But if the order's just there, then it's not necessary that there's chachma behind the order. I don't know why the order's there. It happens to be there. Whatever. Okay? So if a person has that concept, so then the person is devoid of a commitment to real, true commitment to chachma. So a commitment to chachma means that when the person looks at the order, he recognizes that there's something beyond the order, okay, that is the designer of the entire system that he observes. So then he's committed to what? To Chachma, because it means that this is a design. A design means from the Chachma of the source, which is God, correct? And that's why he's committed to that's why it's Amar HaChachmos. That's what the Rambam means, okay? Omer HaChachmos, because there are many Chachmos, but they all are unified ultimately. That's what it means. And the ultimate pillar of all the unification of all the Chachmos is this existence, God. That's what he's saying. Okay? What the Rambam means to say is a genuine apikaris. Okay, we call him apikaris. Okay? Is not the Rambam's category. So a person that's an atheist or an agnostic, basically, must ipso facto deny chachma, because he must say what he sees. He sees chachma sometimes. He doesn't see chachma, but he has to be a denier of chachma, basically. So if he denies the existence of God, You understand? Then he must ipso facto deny Chachma. It's an amazing statement of Rama. That's what he's saying. Okay. Yeah, because once you deny God, so then you can easily, then what do you see? You see an order. So you see Chachma, yeah, but maybe I see Chachma here, maybe it's haphazard. And maybe if I go further, I'll see the whole thing is not based on Chachma. I say the whole thing's crazy. Okay? Maybe it appears to me like Chachma on the surface. But I go deeper, I find it's all haphazard. Follow? That's the reason. Now, Yesoda Yesodos means in terms of existence. And Omura Chachmos means it is the underlying principle of all Chachma. That's what the Rambam is saying. In terms of existence, the foundation of all foundations is God. I mean, that's what it means. But in terms of existence. But it's also the pillar, this idea of God is the pillar of all Chachma. Because if you deny God, you ipso facto deny Chachma. That's what the Rambam says. That's a straight out statement. That's the beat of it. That's why any scientist, a scientist who denies God, is caught immediately in a contradiction. Okay? Logical contradiction. Because what is he pursuing? Maybe it's all crazy. Next question may find out the whole thing is just crazy. What gives him that conviction? That it has to, it must, of course, make sense. Logical. Yeah, that's right. It's not enough. That's correct. In other words, it's not enough to say, according to Yehadis, if a person would just say, Yesoda Yesodos, that's what most people would say. Most people say Yesoda Yesodos. Okay? I agree that God is the source of all existence. Fine. But Omer HaChachmos, that's really a different... But the Rambam unifies them both. Apparently the Rambam holds that they're interdependent. That if you just say Yesoda Yesodos without Omer HaChachmos, then you're lacking in the concept of Yesod Yesodos. That's, they're both, you have to say them both in the same statement. If you're missing one, you're missing the other. Of course, you're missing Yesodos, obviously. But in the reverse also, if you're missing the idea of Omer HaChachmos, then you're lacking in the concept of Yesod Yesodos. Because what is Yesod Yesodos? That's, you know what I mean? The concept of the Yesod is going to be lacking unless you understand that it's also Omer HaChachmos. Okay? All right, think about it. Yeah, the Ram says in the Maran Rucham, God is called intellectus. He has all the... Right? Has to be in the vein of Chachma. Has to be along... Has to be... The perception is not going to... What I'm saying is that the perception of the Yesod can only be approached via the medium of Chachma. Without that medium, the Yesod is going to be corrupt. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? So the Ram says in the Maran, God is called intellectus, the source of knowledge... Otherwise, it's going to wind up with some kind of a kshama, so to speak, in the back of his mind, I mean, overtly, but the only route is through perception. In other words, a person that doesn't know, let's put it this way, a person that's devoid of all chachma really has a problem with Yesod Yesodos. Okay? I'm not classifying it, whatever, I mean, that's some, God has done everybody, but he's going to have a problem. Because since it says Yesod Yesodos, woman of chachmos, it means the person must have access to chachma. He doesn't have any access to Chachma. What kind of Omer HaChachmas? He doesn't know what Chachma is. He certainly is not going to have any concept of Omer HaChachmas. So a person must have, in order to be a maimon, according to the Rambam, a person must have had some experience with Chachma. I mean, without the experience of Chachma, he doesn't understand what Rambam means Omer HaChachmas. What's Omer HaChachmas? He doesn't know what Chachma is to begin with. Okay? So he must know what Chachma is. Doesn't mean on the highest level, but some level, he must have a level of Yedias HaChachma, and then he can understand what it means, Amar HaChachmas. Okay. Yeah, let me ask you, I'll ask you one more question, and we'll stop, okay? We'll take a break. We'll finish it tomorrow.
Smart?
Right, now take a look at the Rambam, and then now the Rambam goes up and back, of course. I mean, both ways. I'm not going to... V'myal al-das shehu'ayna matzu, he explains what that means. Okay, fine. V'myal al-das she'in kol somu vado matzuim hu levado ye matzu. Okay. His existence is not contingent on their existence, but on the contrary, their existence is contingent on his existence. Okay, fine. That's explaining, elaborating precisely what he means by matzu rishin. By the way, the word rishin in the Rambam, I can't prove it. But I don't think when the Rambam says Shiyesha Motsui Rishon that he's referring over here to Brias Shemayim Varetz. Okay? I don't think so. I mean, I'm not saying for certain 100%, but somehow I sense that what Rishon over here means is not first in order, but first in essence. Do you understand what I mean? So the word, primary. That's right. That's what I think it means. I can't prove it, but because that, in other words, of course, I do have a way of proving it, okay? In other words, the question is like this. Let's say a person did not believe in creation. Would the Rambam say that he's in violation of this principle? It's important to know. Okay, of course, one put everybody in Ganem. One category. For a lot of people, just one category of Ganem, that's it. But if you want to look at it logically, you have to ask a question. Let's say, for instance, a person does not believe in creation, but he believes in God. Okay? I don't think the Rambam would exclude him from this first halacha. Yesoda yesodos va'omar ha-chachmos, leida she'yesham motzi rishon does not mean a creator. Okay? Motzi rishon means a primary existence. That's a rishon means rishon in terms of existence. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza, he explains. That's what it means. Okay? Mamtzi kol nimtza is what motzi rishon means. Okay? I could prove it, basically, from the Rambam himself. Why? Because Aristotle did not believe in creation, and the Rambam says that he reached the level of Chachma, that's the highest level that man can reach, one stage less than Nevoah. So the Rambam is Amar HaChachmas. You tell me that that Aristotle was lacking, he didn't believe in creation, so therefore you're going to say that he lacked the Amar HaChachmas. How could he be on the level of Chachma that's one stage below Nevoah? So that's why I say the word Motzi Rishon in the Rambam does not mean first in terms of order of existence. It means primary, Motzi Rishon, primary existence. And everything that exists only exists because of that existence. That's what it means. But it makes sense logically, besides, I'm proving it from the, but it makes sense logically because it says Amar HaChachmas. No, she doesn't say anything about creation. Ram doesn't mention about creation. Creation is a separate thing. Separate. Okay, yes, good question. What? Good question. V'chol ha'emtsoyim, he said, v'chol ha'emtsoyim mishamayim v'oretz u'mashe b'nehem lo nimtzu elo me'amitas hi motz'o. So he's asking, why did Ram have to add that? Because he already said, hu mamtzi kol nimtzu. Right? Follow? Why does Ram say v'chol hanem tzoyim mishamayim v'aretz lo nimtzu ela me'amitas hi motz'o? Yeah, why do you have to add that? What he means is like this. What the Rambam means is that it's not enough for a person to just believe it in abstract. Say anything that exists exists from God. It means he must have studied the observable world and know the observable world insofar as he can grasp it, and know that that grasp of the observable world is directly traceable to God. That's what it means. You see? That's what he's saying. It can't be just an abstract, according to Rambam, person. Yeah, everything's from God. Not good enough. He must know the observable world, everything, that's the observable world. He must know it, and he must in his mind link that which he observes to the source, which is God. It must be a practical link also. If it's just an abstract, everything's from God, that's apparently lacking in his Yisodos. Again, it demands a certain amount of Chachma. Certain amount. Doesn't mean he has to be the greatest astronomer, but it has to be some contact with the observable world and some kind of a knowledge. If he doesn't have any knowledge, this is meaningless. Okay, do you follow? That's what the Rambam said. It must be, actually, what it must be really, is from the observable world traced back. You see? Okay? You follow? Because what does a person see first? What does a person see? A person has a mind, he has senses, and he studies, like Adam, he starts studying the observable world. And then he must see the observable world as a source. Source is non-observable. Source is God's true existence. Okay? You see, God's truth is that's why they use me'amitas hi motz'o. See, take a look at the Rambam as a funny definition of the word emes. Take a look. He says like this. He says, v'myala, and Allah again, v'myala das she'en kol emtsoyim uvada o metsuyim, hu levada yi emotsoyim. Okay, then he says like this. Shekhan san tzrichon lo v'ubarachu eino tzorech lohem v'lo le'echad mehem lefichoch ein amitoso ka'amitas achad mehem. What is ein amitoso? Hushan in the end of the game. Hushan novi omer v'rashem elokim emes. Okay, what is Hashem elokim emes? It should be Hashem elokim osa emes dover. No, Hashem elokim hu levado ho emes v'ein la'ache emes ka'amitoso. Okay, so what does it mean? What does Ram mean? It means that God in a person's mind must be associated with the idea of the real. You see? You follow me? In other words, when for instance a person sees this table, he has a sense that it's real. When he studies what the composition of it is, he sees that's not real. That's just appears to the senses. But what's real is something quite different. The subatomic world is a different reality. Okay? So the more knowledge a person gains, the more he's in contact with the real. The surface is the surface phenomena are not real. They're apparitions. They appear to be real. But then when you study them, you say, yeah, it's not real. The leaf looks green, but it's not really green. Okay? On the contrary. It's reflecting the green and it's absorbing the other color. So the knowledge puts a person's mind in contact with the world of the real. What a person must understand, according to the Rambam, is that God's reality is that God is the only thing that is truly real. And his reality is different than any other reality. So he must have a concept of the real. Again, according to the Rambam, it requires a certain root of chachma in order to be able to perceive these ideas. But it means a person must be in contact with the counterfeit and the real, and he must know that that concept extends to God in a certain way, which God is the only real, the only thing that's real. So he must have a concept of the real, which demands a certain involvement in Chachman, and that experience, it's not just an idea, it's a certain kind of experience. It's a scientist, a baseball player has one kind of experience, a scientist has a different kind of experience. Okay? So there must be a certain experience where a person senses this is the real, and then he must know that God is the ultimate real. Along that line. Excuse me? Well, yeah, that's of course, because the existence of Yibba Nodidia, but that's very simple, because the existence of the soul, okay, is only a caused existence. It's a different kind, that's why it's not real. That's why it's not truly real. The truly real is God. That's what he says. Everything the Rambam is saying is the same, but it's different. In other words, it's the same, but it's different roots that you have to see it from different facets. See, according to the Rambam, the idea is not complete in the human mind unless you see it from different facets. Okay? He has to know Matzah Rishon. He has to know the idea that it's traceable from the observable world. He has to know Chachma, the source of Chachma. He has to have a concept of the real. The Rambam is spelling out all the elements. If one of these elements are not in line, he's missing. Yeah, I don't know if he'd call me, he wouldn't call him Karis quickly, but he's missing the Yisrael Yisrael. Okay? Take a look at Halacha Hey, and this is probably why people close the Rambam Sefer, which is a Motzi Azehu Olekei Olam Adon Kalorets V'amane Gagagol B'koach She'en Lo Keitz V'tachlis. Okay? B'koach She'en Lo Hefzik She'agagol Tzoviv Tomud V'yef She'she Yisov B'lo Mesabeh. Okay, so this was based upon the old astronomical system, which was they could not explain the motion of the planets, but once Newton came along, he showed that this is not true. There is no that's simply on the contrary. Things are not really moving around. They're in a state of inertia. Okay, fine, it's good. Yeah, but the point is that the Rambam was functioning under the old physics. But it is a total error to think that because his physics was different, that his concepts in terms of Yahadis were wrong in any way. Chas v'shalom. Anyone that maintains that simply denies all concept of Mount and Thermosinai. Mount and Thermosinai wasn't given with a physics book. Okay? So the mistake of a lot of people, when they see that, they run away from the Rambam, is a total mistake. They just don't understand how to separate out the concepts of the Rambam and the physics, which happens to be a phenomena that's a part that he used in a certain way with the Yesodos, but there's no problem in substituting today's physics for the old physics. That's not the essence of the Rambam. Okay? All right. So, apparently the Rambam holds that, and this goes back to his idea that the concept must be traceable from the observable, which apparently the Rambam maintains that in order to have a true concept of Yesodi Yesodos, it must be real to you from the observable world, which means the Rambam demands that you must be able to look at the observable world and see that it is impossible that it should be self-explanatory. And if you don't see that, then you're lacking in the Yesod Yesodos. The Rambam used the physics in his day, because in his day, that seemed to be an impossibility. So he said that you see from the planetary, from the revolution of the planets, that God exists. Okay? Because it cannot be explained without a force. Okay? Now, so that I said, that of course was the old physics. But the Rambam's principle still is true. The Rambam's principle is a yesod in the dust. Namely, as we, just to elaborate, he's elaborating on his previous theme, namely that you have to be able not just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Motzi Rishon, he's Mamtzil Cholimtzai, that's not enough. You have to be able, where, what? You have to show from the world, from the universe. Okay? That's what the Rambam's theme is. And Rambam apparently holds that you must see from the universe that it's not possible to be self-explanatory. That's what he holds. He used the science of his day. He couldn't possibly know that that's not so. But that's not important. The important thing is that according to the Rambam, that in order for the idea for the human mind to have a grasp of the idea, it must be based on the human mind's encounter with the external world, and from the external world, the conclusion must be drawn. You see? So that means that in today's scientific world, you must be able to do the same thing if you want to complete what the Rambam is saying. Namely, it doesn't have to be through the planetary system. It could be through the expansion of the galaxies. Okay? That would be today's substitution for the Rambam's planetary system. Okay, but it doesn't make any difference. The Rambam is not interested in teaching you physics. Basically, he's telling you a halacha. The halacha is that in order for a person to be considered a maimon, it must be supported from scientific knowledge. Okay, that was scientific. What is scientific knowledge? Scientific knowledge does not mean the ultimate truth. Okay, the ultimate truth is only God knows. You follow what I mean? Scientific knowledge is human knowledge. Human knowledge changes as man advances. That's not a problem. But is it scientific? Did the Rambam have scientific knowledge about the revolution of the planets? Yes, absolutely. That qualified perfectly as scientific knowledge, because in his time, that was fine. Is scientific knowledge is knowledge that the human mind arrives at through a certain process. Doesn't have to do with the fact that he didn't have a big enough telescope. Doesn't make it unscientific. You follow what I mean? But the Rambam's principle, I spoke about it once before, the Rambam's principle is that these yediyas are not considered really yediyas unless they're supported by a scientific observation. In other words, a person must be able to see, and by the way, this will always be true. Because since the ultimate source of reality is God, so in any generation of science, the universe is never going to be self-explanatory. That's the premise of God. Okay? So it's always going to be true. The only thing is that you're going to be, there's different bumps along the way, so to speak. You'll see if your knowledge is limited here, then you'll see it from there. As your knowledge expands, you see it from somewhere else. But it's always going to be that way. Has to be that way. Okay? The particular physics phenomenon doesn't make a difference. You understand what I'm saying? It means that this idea is always going to be that way, no matter what generation you're in, because the universe is not self-explanatory. So you're always going to arrive at a point where you're going to say there must be another existence. Now, what that particular thing you arrive at, it depends on the era you live in. But as long as it's scientific knowledge, you see, then the conviction is considered a correct conviction. You understand? In other words, the purpose of the scientific knowledge is that the conviction should have a certain place in a human being's mind, not just God created, God's of everything, God created everything. That's not good enough, you see. It must be secured in the mind through an encounter with the external world. That's what the realm is basically saying. Okay? Today, the phenomenon would be the spreading galaxies. Okay, that points clearly. It's not self-explanatory. That immediately shows it's not self-explanatory. You understand what I'm saying? To my mind, that's what the Ram would say. I mean, I can only conjecture, but I'm saying, I would say that's what the Ram would say today. Instead of the motion of planets, it's the fact that the expanding galaxies shows that it's not self-explanatory because it came from one source, and that's it. Okay. Because you must come from your pursuit of knowledge, you must come to a certain conclusion. The conclusion is that this thing, what we call the universe, cannot be an ultimate existence. It cannot be explained without another existence that is more real, that is the existence of existence, the existence behind all existence. That's it. And you have to be able to see it and show it. That's what the Ram is. That's the halacha of the Ram. If you can't see it, you can't show it, through scientific knowledge, then you weren't mekayem the mitzvah. That's what the Ram holds. The Ram, and as I said, every generation is going to see it. Because it's never going to be self-explanatory, because God is the source. But every generation is going to have a different point where it's going to appear through scientific knowledge to be non-self-explanatory. That point doesn't matter. You can only go by the science of your day. That's not the point. The point is that the idea must be secured through what a human being considers scientific knowledge, which means not an emotional way of thinking, but according to his mind. But obviously, scientific knowledge is not what is true, because what is true is God's knowledge. Scientific knowledge means a certain approach and certain parameters. True or false, if something's false, doesn't mean it's not scientific knowledge. It's scientific knowledge. Now I have a bigger telescope, I have to change my formula. It doesn't mean the previous thinking was not scientific thinking. You understand? But that's what the Ram is saying, yes. But of course, you see, we have to also understand, you have to understand this. That what a person grasps scientifically. See, you have to understand that what is the idea, I mean, the whole idea of a person, of a human being perceiving God is, of course, a very limited thing, because, I mean, we're only human beings. I mean, we have a very limited ability. But it means insofar as our essence is capable of it. That's obviously what it means, okay? Now, so what I mean to say is like this, that A human being, scientific knowledge is always placed in a certain category of the human mind. All right? Now, my point is this. My point is that if you would go back to the time, to the pre-Galilean Newtonian period, okay, there was just as much of a sense of security about their science as we have about our science. Our science might change just as drastically as their change. It's only human arrogance that maintains that we have finally arrived at the ultimate thing. They had that. You understand what I'm saying? But my point is this: that scientific investigation and knowledge gives a human being a certain conviction, and he's entitled to that conviction. Don't get me wrong; he's entitled to that conviction. It's a conviction that he must have based upon his internal structure of his mind, not just arrogance. Okay. It's arrogance if he doesn't see the idea that he may be just as far from the truth as the previous generation. That's arrogance. But the sense of conviction that arrives from scientific investigation is really built in man from God. I mean, that man has, when he says his mind grasps something, or he sure grasps it, is a certain conviction that must follow. If he didn't have that, nobody would even pursue science, because that's what a person is looking for. You see? But that's a human phenomenon. The Rambam is simply saying that the Yedias Hashem has to be in terms of the ultimate human phenomenon. That's what he said. Which is the scientific phenomenon. So it means to say that it That's what I'm trying to show you, that people ran away from the Rambam. It was a big mistake, because they saw that he mentioned something that had to do with the fact that that's not the Rambam's not a book of faith. Rambam's a safer on what exactly Yedias Hashem is. And that is exactly right. Doesn't make sense which example he uses, you see. But the concept that the Rambam is saying is that through whatever is scientific knowledge of Adam at that time, he has to, that conviction has to be linked to that. See, it's not important what the particular thing is. It has to do with how it's embedded in his mind. And it's embedded in his mind in a certain way when it comes from a certain kind of knowledge. That's what the Rambam is saying. Obviously, he can't get the right thing. Only God knows the ultimate knowledge. But if it's embedded in his mind due to this process, then it doesn't matter which generation, it's the same thing. He relates to the idea, to the concept in the same manner. It doesn't make any difference whether the Rambam, if the Rambam would know, for instance, with the Galilean and the Newtonian revolution. Okay, and now he would relate, instead of what he wrote here, he'd write about the expansion of the galaxies. That doesn't make any difference in the SHM, same exact thing. In terms of the idea being embedded in his mind, there's no difference. As long as it's through scientific knowledge. That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. But this thing will always be true in every generation, but it'll take on a different form. But the individual who lives in any generation, doesn't matter what generation he lives in, as long as his mind is a mind of Chachma, and the processes of Chachma relate him to God, that's what a Maimon is. That's it. The particulars of Chachma, only God knows the ultimate particulars. That's irrelevant. You understand what I'm saying? It's the pursuit of Chachma and the appreciation of Chachma and how the idea of God relates to his world of thoughts, that is important. That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. You understand? Okay. It's the scientific element is not a revelation in terms of the abstract idea. You see, it is simply a link. It's a necessary linkage to the human mind. And that particular thing that's the link doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's always going to change. You know? There's two things. There's the perception of the idea of Motzei Rishon. That's one thing. And then there's the way that idea must be embedded in the human soul. How? Where? Not just like I said before. The person who says Motzei Rishon doesn't mean anything. Okay? I can't say it means anything. It's something. But it's not what the Rambam's looking for, what the Rambam's qualifications are. Okay? But the qualifications do not have to do with the particular scientific knowledge. It has to do with the framework of the human mentality, the scientific mentality. And the Torah gave a mitzvah, which will always be true in every generation, but it's going to assume a different particular. But that doesn't matter in terms of the Gavra's concept of Motzei Rishon, same thing. You follow? The idea that the universe is self-explanatory sphere. If you should be living in an era when science, like the Newtonian era, when science concludes that they have the universe and it's self-explanatory, we know from the Torah that it cannot be true. There's something missing here. That's the only thing you can do. That's the only thing. And knowledge will be lacking. You can't do anything about it. But that's a kind of a question. That's a kind of a question that we human beings just can't answer. The same kind of question is, why is a person born over here, born in a situation of this another person wasn't. This is I can't explain that. I can't answer that question. But there was an era like that. There was an era like that, and unfortunately, we're not living there. But if an individual lives in that era, he has to know. That's one thing that from Torah you can really know science. You could know that is wrong. There's something wrong with the science. Okay? That's interesting. That's correct. That's correct. I mean, it's very similar to the position of the Rambam in the Moreh Nebuchadnezzar, where every scientist was against creation, okay? And the Rambam said, that's it, they're all wrong. Because Bereishis Bara Elokim, Hashem Elokeinu Ha'aretz, they're all wrong. And because of HaMesorah, because not just the Pasuk, because the Pasuk can explain, but because of HaMesorah, the Nevi'im, whatever. But he... So basically what the Rambam says is that you must be able to go from the finite to the infinite. From the observable world, you must have a direct route to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of all existence, the real existence. And that's what the Rambam says, Eino Movado. Eino Movado, the Rambam interprets, plain. It means there's nothing real besides God. That's what it means. There's nothing real besides God. Okay. And the Rambam, by the way, supports everything from Tzom. Okay. So the Rambam is not just philosophizing, but he's saying that you must also know. You must know these ideas from the Masorah. These ideas are essentially ideas from the Masorah. Ram didn't just rely; it wasn't just based upon his own thinking, but it was based on the Masorah and supported from reality. That's the way the person must perceive it. He must have that knowledge. Now, the thing is like this. I saw some people didn't have to clear what I said yesterday, but I'm just going to try to rephrase it. What I said with regard to the Rambam's particular proof, which is not correct, as we in terms of modern science, we see that it's not correct. And I said it doesn't make any difference. My point was that the concept in the Rambam is not just for a person to say the idea. But it must be nitfas b'mocho in a certain type of a way, okay? Because here the Rambam is talking about the soul of man must have the idea embedded in it clearly. And therefore, part of that requirement is a knowledge from a scientific knowledge. And that's what I try to explain, that scientific knowledge is not ultimately true knowledge that only God has, but there is a level of chachma in man, and whether when science progresses, whether a particular scientific piece of information is found to be untrue, does not mean that the person at that time did not view that idea scientifically. So the scientific knowledge is a means for the idea to be nitfas in the person's mind. Okay, so that's why it does not make any difference whether the idea becomes obsolete, as long as at the time that the person existed, the idea related to the soul through that medium of scientific knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? That's the answer. That's right. In other words, it's the way the soul, the way the Tzelem Elokim is constructed, demands this kind of apprehension. This is a kind of apprehension that you must have, okay? And that's why it must be through scientific knowledge. Again, scientific knowledge, I mean, this is the point I think most people miss, that there's a difference between scientific knowledge and ultimate knowledge. Ultimate knowledge man will never have. Scientific knowledge, again, and in each generation there's scientific knowledge. Just like there was scientific knowledge in the generation of Avraham Avinu as well. Okay? Scientific knowledge is a chalos. Okay? Because you see, if you see a scientist, so what do you say? The other one's cholak mechachmas l'reyav. That's tamcha. It's So what are you going to say? That if someone made that bracha 800 years ago, then now you find out that the science became obsolete. It was a bracha l'vatala. It's absurd. Scientific knowledge is a certain kind of chalos. It's a certain kind of chalos. The material of the substance of the scientific knowledge changes with the generations, but not the scientific mind and not the scientific tfisa. You understand what I'm saying? They're not the phenomenon of science, of the scientific knowledge. A person, you understand what I'm saying? So therefore, what the Rambam is saying is it must be nitfas b'mocho in the framework of scientific knowledge. That's what he said. Okay? That's the idea. It's a legitimate function of the human soul. The scientific methodology and process is a legitimate function of the human soul. What objects it apprehends is a separate matter. That's exactly. It's the process, exactly. Because if you're going to say it's the knowledge, then no one ever has to know. That's it. So I one time gave a shiur. I gave another shiur on this. If you want to listen to the on the table, we discussed it in the concept of advances in science, and we spoke about, I think what it had to do with the Kruvim in the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken. And we spoke about what exactly scientific knowledge is. And scientific knowledge is man is in a constant state of approaching reality. But it's a state. The person, you can't differentiate much between a person. Well, you see, scientific knowledge progresses very, very slowly. Very, very slowly. You have the greatest minds for 2,000 years, and then they discover that the most basic tools, like time and space, are completely misunderstood. So you see, man's mind, the greatest minds, progress very slowly, very slowly. But that's why it's absurd to differentiate between in the terms of the ultimate scheme of things, the scientist from 100 years ago, from 200 years ago, 300 years ago, the difference in that scientist and the scientist today is very small in terms of the ultimate knowledge. It's like a small little step. See, I mean, we think it's big because we're standing over here. They think, now we have tremendous advance. But a deep scientist knows and senses that they're only scratching the surface of an unbelievable world of knowledge. So what man does is really like a little nothing. So there's no reason to differentiate, you understand, between the scientist of several hundred years ago and the scientist of today. In terms of the scope, the ultimate scope, it's a fractional. But is it a legitimate enterprise? The answer is yes. And it's legitimate in every generation because that's the Tzelem Elokim. That's the Tzelem Elokim. It's the function of the Tzelem Elokim. So basically what the Rambam is saying is that this Yediyas Hashem must be apprehended through this function of the Tzelem Elokim. Right. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? That's what the Rambam is saying. The fact that people are very impressed because of the physical changes, like you take a look at what there's now, a century ago, is amazing. Amazing. But that has nothing to do with the theoretical. That's just, as a matter of fact, that's a pasuk that the Vekiv Shuah, basically. That's part of the ultimate chachma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe in a way that man is able to make, unbelievable physical changes with very little knowledge. That's part of the chachma, the very structure of the whole entity. That's what gives sure. That's a gossip. That's what Bertrand Russell says. Amazing that we can do so much with the little that we know. See, I mean, we know so little and we can do so much. But that itself is part of the ultimate chokhmah sabaret. Okay, you know what I mean? Don't be impressed by the fact that by the technology. The fact that we have such technology is part of the very structure that man can do unbelievable advances in technology with very little real knowledge. That itself is part of the structure. Okay. The Rambam makes it clear, basically. You take, for instance, Halacha Hei, Hamotzui Hazer, Hu Elokei Ha'olam, Adon Kol Ha'aretz, Hu Amanig Agagol B'Koch Shein Lo Keitz V'Tachlis, B'Koch Shein Lo Hefzik, Shagalgal Sovev Tomid, Vief Shishayisov below Mesavev, Vahu Baruch Hu Amesavev Oso, below Yad or below Guf. So what is Rambam saying? Basically two things. That God is non-physical, okay, non-physical, we know God through the non, through the negative. And also that what? That he's infinite, okay? And infinite, you see the way the Rambam states the infinite in a negative way. Any locates of Tachlis. Okay. Because the concept of the infinite is a tricky concept. People say the infinite, people think of a positive idea. It's negative. A locates for Tachlis. There's nothing, okay? So infinite and what? Non-physical. Okay, good. Fine, that's fine. Everything is fine up to this is beautiful. What? Okay. By the way, I mean, I have a Hakira. The Rambam cites Psukim here, right? And we said basically the Rambam is telling you that you have to understand this from every aspect. That's why it says Vim Yalala Das Shehuin Motzin Davracha Yachli Motzas. Okay, Vim Yalala Das Shein. You have to understand it precisely every all facets of the concept. Okay, the question I would ask is: let us say a person, let's say like an Albert Einstein, comes to the conclusion, the same conclusion, that God is non-physical, is infinite. Okay, fine. But he doesn't have the support from the Pesukim. Is he Mekayim the Mitzvah or not? In other words, the Rambam supports everything from Pesukim, which means that you must, that the source is basically according to Rambam, the Mesorah, the Pesukim, and then you must be able to support this from the